This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever.
Hi, this is Dina Marie of Faith Moments, and welcome to our weekly podcast where we enter into our Sunday Mass readings. It is the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. We have flipped the calendar to the month of September, and the core theme that I want to have us focus on as we're listening to these readings today is right relationship. Let's get into our program this morning, our podcast. Let us pray. O God, by whom we are redeemed and receive adoption, look graciously upon your beloved sons and daughters, that those who believe in Christ may receive true freedom and an everlasting inheritance. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the Book of Wisdom. Who can know God's counsel, or who can conceive that the Lord intends? For the deliberations of mortals are timid, and unsure are our plans. For the corruptible body burdens the soul, and the earthen shelter weighs down the mind that has many concerns. And scarce do we guess the things on earth, and what is within our grasp we find with difficulty. But when things are in heaven, who can search them out? Or who ever knew your counsel, except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high? And thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. The Word of the Lord. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. You turn man back to dust, saying, "Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday, now that it is past, or as a watch of the night." In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. You make an end of them in their sleep. The next morning they are like changing grass, which at dawn springs up anew, but by evening wilts and fades. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. And may the gracious care of the Lord our God be ours. Prosper the work of our hands. Prosper the work of our hands. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to Philemon. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner for Christ Jesus, urge you on behalf of my child Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment, I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I should have liked to retain him for myself so that he might serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that the good you do might not be forced, but voluntary. Perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother, beloved especially to me, but even more so to you as a man and in the Lord. So if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king, marching into battle, would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The thread that I want to look at today, and we've been hearing from, if you recall, the book of Sirach, we've heard from Proverbs, today it's from the book of Wisdom. These are all these wisdom books in the first reading for our Sunday scriptures. And again, this sense of wisdom, all of these books help us to unpack, you know, how to live a life of wisdom. Where does the wisdom come from? It doesn't come from ourselves. It doesn't come from ego. It doesn't come from pride. We heard a lot about that last week when we talked about humble pie. There's the ultimate virtue that we need, and all the other virtues come from this. It's this humility. And it really is about right relationship. Do I understand the right relationship between me and my Creator? God is God and I am not. You know, I am not God. I'm not the creator. I'm not the originator. I'm not the one who begins with wisdom. It is God who imparts that to us, his creatures, his children, his sons and daughters, the ones that we would like to receive adoption. And in this collect prayer today, it even reminds us of this intimate relationship of God the Father and we, his creatures. We are redeemed by God and receive adoption. God graciously looks upon us as beloved sons and daughters. And so we respond in kind with that love, with that admiration, with that joy of loving the Creator and recognizing that there's a relationship, a right relationship with God, our Creator. And if we impart in that relationship and respect that relationship and live it out, that those who believe in Christ, it says in the collect, may receive true freedom, an everlasting inheritance. You know, we want happiness, we want joy, we want peace. And that comes not by filling ourselves up with things and stuff and more of ourselves with pride and greed and control. It comes with a emptying of self. And we're going to hear that in the gospel message today. So in the book of Wisdom, the end of this section, it says, "Or whoever knew your counsel, except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high." So the wisdom we are able to attain comes from God. It comes from the love of God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And that first gift is that initiation into the life of Christ, that we may choose as an adult to be initiated in God through baptism, or someone may have spoken on our behalf, our parents who say, we want to initiate our child into the life of Christ, and that baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit imparts in us the gift of the Holy Spirit and those gifts of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, fear of the Lord, piety, patience, come from that right relationship with God. And thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. So now we're oriented to a right relationship. When we're disoriented or disordered, we don't have a right relationship with God. And so then we have a lack of wisdom. Then we're excelling in pride and want to know everything. And it comes from ourselves, you know, that we are the ultimate truth indicator. We're the North Star. We're the compass. And that's when we fall out of right relationship with God. The good news is, even if we fall out of relationship with God and we start to go a crooked path, we start to listen to the lies of the world and the comforts of the world and the lures of the luxuries of improper relationships, God is always waiting for us to turn back. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. He offers a merciful ear, a merciful heart, a merciful receiving back when we realize that we've had an improper, a disfigured, a disordered relationship. And here's this interesting letter to Philemon from Paul. Paul is in imprisonment and he has received this child, Onesimus, who it sounds like Onesimus was a slave to Philemon, and he left. And actually, you're not supposed to return. From what I've read in commentaries, return a slave who has fled from that relationship. And Paul is sending him back. And it sounds like in this case, he's come to the Christian faith, this former slave, and now he is on equal terms with Paul, and he's going to send him back where he came to be on those equal terms. And so Paul is asking for this man, Philemon, to honor a right relationship with this Onesimus. So if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. There's this sense of a right relationship. You know, we all have special gifts. We all have different qualities. We all have different maybe languages or backgrounds, but we have an equality in God. That each and every one of us has been designed and woven out of the Creator. So we have an equality as brothers and sisters. So we should look at one another with that right relationship, that we've been created in the image and likeness of God. And Paul is pointing this out in a particular way and reminding us that now through this baptism, through this initiation into the family of God, treat this one as you would treat me. Respect this one with that same dignity and respect. And now we hear from Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. This is Luke chapter 14. And Jesus has been teaching with many different parables, and he's even teaching these couple of examples. But I want to just focus on what Jesus says here at the beginning. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, again, we have to remember the context, and we have to remember that we're reading an English translation, and many times the English translation does not do justice to what the words are in the scriptures. And we have this immediate thought of hate, you know, hate and love, but it's not hate in how our culture has interpreted hate, but that we put God first. The relationship that is first to be a disciple, Jesus is talking about, and see, there's people following Jesus. And Jesus is making it clear that if you're going to follow me, there is a right relationship that you need to have. And instead of looking at goods and services, your own self-enlightenment, you're going to be the author of everything, you're going to look at these other relationships first. You need to have me first. If God is first, go back to the Ten Commandments. What are the first three commandments? Do not have any other gods other than me. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. God is holy. Praise the Lord. And that we should honor the Lord's day. Honor that day of the Lord. And so those are the right relationships. We need to have a right relationship with God. And when that is fulfilled in our daily life, then we can have right relationships with mother and father and sister and brother and wife and husband. But if that is distorted, if we have a distorted relationship with God, we cannot have an ordered relationship with other, and everything is going to fall from that. And so to be a disciple, there's a cost. Jesus is letting us know at the beginning, as he's leading people, and they're clamoring, they're wondering, who is this man? They're following him in great crowds. There is a cost to discipleship. That cost is to put God first. Whoever does not carry his own cross, see, you and I have a particular a sphere of influence. We have a particular group of people that are surrounding us in our home, in our families, in our workplace, in our ministry, whatever that is. You and I have maybe different circles of people. But is God at the center of all of those relationships? Think about, this is kind of a funny group, but people have different hobbies. People have different pastimes, things that they like to do together. Whether it's, I was talking to a neighbor the other day, and she said, we used to have all of these neighbors in the neighborhood, and we'd get together on a Friday night and have game night. And we'd all come together at somebody's house, and everybody would bring a meal, and we'd share a meal, and we'd have board games. And it would just be a fun time for neighbors to come together, to socialize, to get to know one another. And that's wonderful. Maybe you have, I know two groups of people who have bunco night. So, you know, Thursday night, again, there always seems to be food involved, right? There's food involved, there's fun, there's a time to play a game. But is there a group like that? Maybe it's your softball league. Maybe it's the football league. Maybe it's a group that gets together at the gym. You do a walking, go on hiking trails with these groups. You have a kind of a men's day where you get together, you go golfing, you go hiking, you go looking at museums, whatever it is. But is there a group that you associate with that takes you down the wrong path? And all of a sudden, the language that's the way in which the language comes out doesn't honor God. You get together on Sundays and you don't honor the Lord's day. You start to put something on TV, some game or sports event or music group or whatever it is, ahead of God. And now that social group that you had fun with maybe starts to violate those first three commandments, and maybe even violates the other commandments of coveting another's possessions or spouse or committing adultery. I mean, think about those relationships that you have with different groups of people. Maybe at the office, after everybody gets off work, they go to the sports bar. And maybe the language goes south. Maybe the relationships are skewed. Do you choose not to participate with that group of people? There's a lot of things that if you're not socially involved in this group or that group, and you work in this industry or you work at that industry or have to go to these conventions or conferences, that will lead you down the wrong path, an improper relationship. And if you don't have a good relationship with God, then you're not going to make good decisions when those other relationships may be tempting. Well, boy, if you don't go to the bar, if you don't go to the social event, if you don't go to these conferences, then you're not going to be accepted, but you're going to start violating God's law and you'll have disordered relationships. So you have to make a choice of who you're going to follow. That's the cost of discipleship. There's a little bit of a reflection in this week's Magnificat, the grace of discipleship. And this is written by Venerable Catherine McCauley. And she says this, when Jesus Christ calls on us to renounce all for his sake, it is not his intention to leave us friendless or without comfort, but to fill up the vacuum in our hearts with himself. That is, with delights far surpassing any the world could bestow, and a happiness such as the inhabitants of heaven alone can enjoy. Listen to this. There are more saints in heaven that never did anything extraordinary, and who have perhaps attained a far greater degree of glory than those whose lives were remarkable for great actions. It is not the action, but the spirit that actuates it to which God looks and according to which he will judge and reward us. So it's not just the action. You know, we think about Mother Teresa. I think about Mother Teresa. I mean, the many actions through the Sisters of Charity, the Missionaries of Charity that she did to offer, you know, comfort and care for those who are the most disadvantaged. Wonderful actions. Absolutely beautiful actions to care for the most fragile. But beyond the action, it's the spirit. See, Mother Teresa was motivated by the Spirit of God. She was loving in that person, loving God. She had a right relationship. Her sisters who followed her, those women who wanted to be like Mother Teresa, they wanted to imitate Christ and they wanted to serve and love Christ. That was the relationship that Mother Teresa was fostering in that ministry. And yet we have to look at the spirit of what's motivating us. Is it the Spirit of God? Or is it a selfish spirit? And how do we know that? We know that through doing an examination of conscience. And that's another area of reflection in this series of readings, tying us to right relationship with God, with myself, with one another. We need to look at what our motivations are. Reflecting in a spiritual examination of conscience is looking at your day, looking at the events of your day, looking at the actions that you took in the day, the people that you interacted with. What did you do with your time? Did you read a book? Did you walk? And what was in your mind? What were you thinking? Were you conversing with God? In the examination of conscience, we take a look at our behavior, our daily response to God's call, having in mind what God wants of us. What does God want for you this day? Making an effort to carry out an examination in depth will make it difficult for the germs of lukewarmness to take root in our soul. See, when we have that right relationship, when we put God first, then we can easily identify things at work, things that are going south, conversation, things that are offending God. I don't want to be around that. God is first. I am a disciple. I'm a child of God. So we have to find that narrow path. Making an effort to carry out our examination in depth will make it difficult for the germs of lukewarmness to take root in our souls and will facilitate keeping our distance from occasion to sin. It is a love. See, that's what's coming from the heart, what motivates us. It is love which moves us to make the examination of conscience and which gives a particular keenness to the soul for detecting those aspects of our behavior which are not pleasing to God. I bet you know certain things in your life that are not pleasing to God. It might be a certain little thing, a little gossip, a little judgment, a little, I want to be right. I want to finish the sentence. You hear that? I. It's he, God. How do we flip that? So it's asking for forgiveness. It's seeking God's grace. It's seeking his Holy Spirit so that we have a right relationship. So let's ask for that Holy Spirit. Ask for that wisdom to know the right relationships that we have in our home, that we have in our community, but it begins with a relationship with God, our Father. Let us pray. Lord our God, you give the gift of freedom to each of your sons and daughters. Grant that we may accept this gift with joy. Let us not fall into the snares of evil, but always walk in the way of your freedom. Amen.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.